presenting the world's greatest mysteries. And now, your host.
This is Basil Rathbone. Everybody loves a mystery, and I'm no exception. And that's why it gives me so much pleasure to act as your guide on this series. You see, we've gathered together some of the finest mystery stories in the world. Stories from many places and from many times. Some of them are up to date, well, as up to date as today's newspaper. Others are classic stories of the past. But today's mystery, for instance, it takes place in Europe, the Europe of modern times, a world of intrigue and suspense where a man's life can count for very little when a country's future is at stake. Mike, our storyteller, works in the Paris office of a famous American newspaper. His job is to look for the stories that make the news, and he finds them in the places where the news is made. In a moment, our play begins.
Presenting Europe Confidential.
Mr. Conroy, thank heaven you're here. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do.
What's happened?
Whiplash went out for a walk last night, and he didn't come back. This morning, I found this note under the door. Mr. Conroy, Whiplash has been kidnapped.
In a moment, we'll bring you Lionel Merton as Mike Conroy, the Paris correspondent of a famous American newspaper, in another exciting story in our series, Europe Confidential.
My name is Mike Conroy. I write a column called Europe Confidential for an American paper in Paris. If you eat a certain brand of breakfast cereal, you no doubt see the face of Whiplash Steele smiling up at you from the packet every morning. Turn on your radio and you'll probably hear Whiplash Steele singing one of his latest tunes. And at night, if you're addicted to television, you're likely to see a Wild West picture starring, Whiplash Steele. This guy is reckoned to be the most popular cowboy entertainer of all time, with more fan clubs than a hound dog has fleas. So when he arrived in London recently to begin a grand tour of Europe, I went along to interview him in his suite at the Ritz. I waded through the knee-deep carpet to door 203 and pressed the buzzer. The door opened, and there in all his splendor, toting a brace of nickel-plated six guns, stood Whiplash Steele.
Howdy. Here can I, huh?
That's right, Mr. Steele.
Come on in, then. I like folks to call me Whiplash. It was good enough when I was riding the range, and I figure it still is.
Yeah, okay, Whiplash.
Now, shoot, partner. What can I do for you?
Well, as I explained, I write a column. I thought you might like to tell me a few things about yourself. About your past, how you became famous, and your plans for the future.
Always glad to oblige the press, can I? There's a lot of folks interested in me. They like to hear about me, and I don't want to disappoint them. Grab a chair and dump your targets.
Thanks.
Drink?
Thanks.
Hard liquor's all I've got.
Oh, that'll be fine.
Neat? Or are you one of them sissies that put water in it?
Yeah, well, neat. Thanks.
You know, I figure it's a real test of a man, the way he takes his liquor. Well, he's looking at you, partner.
Yeah, cheers.
And now, partner, let's hear them questions of yours. First, I guess you'll want to know about my background, eh?
I come from
an old pioneering stock, you know. The Steeles are a family that command a mighty lot of respect back in Arizona. My little old grandpappy who blazed a trail out west and set up the Lazy Y spread, and on that spread, Canoa, I was born.
Uh-huh. Now tell me...
About my upbringing? Well, I wasn't much time for schooling. I never did take to books, but I could have been bone in the saddle the way I straddled a horse. It was then during those long, lonesome nights on the range that I first started strumming a guitar.
I see. Then somebody heard you and offered you a recording contract?
Yep. I didn't want no part of it for a while there. I was happy where it was, on the Lazy Y Ranch. But then, I got to figure. I decided that if my songs meant so much to folk, well, it was my duty to keep on singing.
And can you use them?
My six guns? Use it? Watch. I could drill you before you move to whiskey.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Now, let's hear about your plans for the future. How long is this European tour of yours going to last, and what's your schedule?
My manager's the one who can best answer that. He takes care of my bookings. Burns, come on in here.
Yes, Whiplash?
This is the reporter fella, Canoy. This is Burns, my manager.
How do you do, Mr. Canoy?
Hello there.
Come on in, close the door. Canoy wants to know what my engagements are. He's writing some sort of big article about me.
Oh, I see. Well, Mr. Canoy, Whiplash starts off his European tour with a big TV appearance tomorrow night, 8 o'clock until 9.
Uh-huh.
There'll be representatives from every Whiplash Steel fan club in Britain in the auditorium.
They're kids, you know. I'm the rival.
Then the following night, Whiplash is star of a big rodeo they're staging at the White City. On Wednesday evening, he has a radio broadcast.
Hey, hold it there. Wait a minute. What's this about Tuesday night? I don't know nothing about no rodeo.
Well, sure you do. You signed the contract 4 weeks ago.
Contract?
I put a whole pile of them in front of you. I started to tell you about them, but you said not to bother you.
Well, tell me now.
Okay. They're staging this big American-style rodeo, and you're the star. You're being paid £3,000 just to ride a buck jumper and sing a few songs.
What? Why didn't you tell me about this before?
Well, I tried to, Whiplash Buddy.
But... You bungler, Burns. That's why I fired my other managers for messing things up.
But, Whiplash...
Shut up! Happens I got something else on Tuesday night, something personal. So cancel the contract. Tell them I can't make it.
But we can't do that. It's signed.
Well, unsign it then. Tear it up. Tell them to go jump in the lake. I'm Whiplash Stealing. I don't stick to no contract.
Whiplash, pal, I'm sorry, but this is one contract you can't get out of. The rodeo will collapse without you. They'll sue you for every cent you've got. You've got to do it.
Oh, yeah? Say, Canoy, you come on back in the morning, will you? We'll finish the interview then.
Sure. It's all the same to me.
You know the way I... Now, you listen here to me, you bungling little runt. You tell them I won't be there on Tuesday night, you understand?
But Whiplash, buddy...
Don't buddy me. You go right along...
And that was my first meeting with Mr. Rootin' Tootin' Steele. I was not impressed. However, I still hadn't all the information for my story, so next morning at 10, I was back. Burns opened the door, and to say he looked worried was an understatement.
Oh, Mr. Canoy.
Morning. Is Nature Boy up and about yet?
Mr. Canoy, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do.
Huh?
Whiplash went out for a walk last night, and he didn't come back. This morning, I found this note under the door. Mr. Canoy, Whiplash has been kidnapped. Yes, Mr. Canoy, Whiplash has been kidnapped. I've been almost frantic with worry, Mr. Canoy. I just don't know what to do.
You contacted the police?
No, I'm scared to. Here, read the note.
Burns, I've been kidnapped. Tell who you like, but don't let the cops interfere or I'll be killed. Wait until you get another note and follow the instructions in it. Whiplash.
Why do you think they've done it, Mr. Canoy? Why have they kidnapped him?
Well, certainly not for his beautiful nature, that's for sure. I guess they want dough.
He says not to let the cops interfere.
Well, it's his life and his money, I guess.
Well, what should I do, then?
Well, sit around and wait for the other note. I imagine it'll contain a demand for money and instructions about where to leave it. After the dough's been paid and Whiplash is safely released, the police can have a free hand. And if I know Scotland Yard, Mr. Burns, they'll get the kidnappers.
He goes out for a walk every night before he turns in. They must have known that, and they were waiting for him.
Yeah. Mr. Burns, do you mind if I use your phone? I want to ring Paris.
Paris? Well, I don't know, Mr. Trump.
Well, there's no point in keeping the story out of the newspapers, is there? I might as well make the scoop as anybody else.
Well, it's publicity, isn't it?
Sure.
I guess so.
And don't worry too much about Whiplash. He'll be okay. This is London, not Chicago. My editor almost skipped for joy when I told him the story. A kidnapping in England is news at any time, but when the kidnapped party happens to be a world-famous entertainer, well, that calls for headlines. Scotland Yard lost no time in contacting Burns, but they agreed not to interfere until the ransom money was paid. While we waited for note number two, I stayed at the hotel suite with Burns. He seemed glad of the company. In the afternoon mail, there was the letter.
It's Whiplash's handwriting.
What does it say?
They want £10,000. Leave it tomorrow night on the red letterbox outside 40 Gerrard Street at 7 p.m. Don't tell the police about this. Whiplash. $10,000.
Well, have you got it?
I guess I can get it, okay.
I wonder if we ought to tell the police that the second note's arrived.
No, Conoy.
Well,
no.
Maybe they could watch the place and...
Yeah, but you saw what Whiplash said in his first note. He said they'd kill him if the police interfered.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We better play it carefully.
And you won't mention this note to your paper, will you?
No, not a word.
Good. Now, where's the street?
Well, Gerrard Street's on the other side of Shaftesbury Avenue from Soho. I'll show you the way tomorrow night. I'll go with you if you like.
Well, thanks, Conoy. I'd appreciate that. And right now, I'd better start raising $10,000.
£10,000 for the life of Whiplash Steele seemed to me about £10,000 too much. Or maybe I'm just a cynic. Anyhow, next day, Burns produced the money, and at 6:30, we set out together to find number 40, Gerrard Street. 36, 38. Yeah, there it is, number 40.
And there's the letterbox. Will I put the packet on top?
Yeah, so they can find it without any trouble.
Now what?
Well, I guess we go home and wait.
Unless what?
Well, if we went over the road and down to that doorway, we could stand there in the shadows and wait
for... Oh, no, Mr. Carter, I know.
Yeah, but look...
A man's life is at stake.
Okay, you win.
Are you coming back to the suite?
I'll be there in a couple of hours. I've got a few things to do. If Whiplash should show up in the meantime, will you phone me at my hotel? I'd like to be first with the story.
I'll do that, Mr. Carter, I promise you. And I hope and pray that the news you give your paper will be good news.
I had no intention of going back to my hotel, of course. As soon as I saw Burns into a cab, I did a sharp about turn and went back to Gerrard Street. I stood in the doorway and waited. I saw a tall, dark figure slink along the street and pull up before the red letterbox. He took the packet of crisp five-pound notes, looked very carefully around him, and then walked off in the direction from which he'd come. I waited until he turned the corner, and then I followed. If you ever want to follow somebody, do it in Soho. You'll never find a better place. In Soho, if you're not up to something sinister, you feel you ought to be. As I followed the kidnapper along Firth Street and down a narrow alleyway, I felt I was doing the normal thing for Soho. He stopped at the doorway of a tall, thin, gray-brick house and knocked. When I saw who opened the door for him, I almost fell backwards in surprise. I walked quickly out of the shadows. Well, if it isn't Mr. Steele.
Connoy.
Mind if I come in too, Whiplash?
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm paying a social call like this fella here.
Mr. Fuller, me gun.
You fool. I thought I told you to be careful.
Don't worry. I'll take care of
it. Hold it. Come in, Connoy.
Thanks.
Hello, hello. We kidnapped somebody else.
Shut up, you. Fine, fair, and nincompoops, I picked.
Here now, lay off the language, Cap. Me and Charlie ain't used to that sort of talk, are we, Charlie boy?
No, we ain't. It offends us.
Don't you think you should introduce me to your friends, Whiplash?
Friends? Why, are they...
Now, manners. Now, I'm Charlie, Gov, and this is my mate, Dick.
Would you?
Am I correct in assuming that Mr. Steele employed you both to help kidnap himself?
That's about the strength of it, as you might say.
Connoy, if ever you breathe a word of this here to anybody, I'll kill you.
What with? Your nickel-plated six guns?
I'll... Connoy, I didn't mean that, pardon. I guess I'll get a little hot under the collar sometimes.
Yeah, I guess you do.
Look, I'll tell you what. There's no reason why we should have any difficulty about this here matter. Connoy, you go away and forget you ever saw anything tonight, and I'll pay you £1,000. Now, what do you say?
Uh-uh.
Okay, then. $2,000 it is.
Uh-uh.
Oh, what the heck do you want, then?
Well, first and foremost, a story.
About what?
About why you kidnapped yourself.
What'll you do then?
Well, it remains to be seen.
You won't print it?
I'm not promising anything.
Okay. I guess you hold all the aces, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Fellas, can you leave us alone for a while?
It's a pleasure, isn't it, Charlie?
Yeah.
We'll go and make a nice hot cup of tea. Off to you, Charles.
Sure. Don't shoot it.
Where'd you pick up that circus?
In a pub.
Well, I'm waiting.
What do you want me to tell you?
Everything. The lot.
Okay. For a start, my name ain't Whiplash Steele. It's Alfred Skinner. I come from Arizona right enough, but my pappy don't own no range. He's got a garage in Greensboro.
Uh-huh.
That surprises you, I guess.
Nope.
No.
Nothing surprises a reporter.
I've been living a lie, Connoy, for the past 3 years. Ever since I sang that song of mine over the local radio station and got off at a recording contract. I ain't no... Had no say in my life, past, present, or future.
Mm-hmm.
Overnight, they wrote a new story for me, and I had to act it out all the time. Well, the only fellow who knew the truth about me was my manager, Jeff Gilson, but he got a bit too uppity, and I fired him.
And you hired Burns, eh? The defenseless little guy you could bawl out whenever you liked.
You want to put it like that? Yep. But he didn't know my life story was all a fake, and he still don't. So he fixed me up the store in that rodeo at the White City.
Well,
Connoy, you should have seen what I had to do. I had to ride out in a bronc, the meanest old bronc they could find. I had to team it right there in front of 50,000 people. And, Connoy, I've never been near a horse in my life. I'm scared stiff of horses. And it ain't no joke on
the matter. Yeah, so you decided on having yourself kidnapped.
It was the only way I could think of. I was desperate, Connoy. There was no way out of the contract. And if I went along to that rodeo, I'd break my neck. So, I had to walk around solo. I got to talking to them two fellas at a bar. I told them what I wanted done, and they agreed to help me for £500 each. Well, you know the reason.
Two teas coming up.
Oh, thanks.
Not at all. Pleasure, innit, Charles?
Not off.
You own this place?
No, Gov. It's been empty for a couple of years. Me and Charlie found out how to open the front door, and we use it as our London residence. Kind of headquarters, if you know what I mean.
And we hope you'll be very comfortable here. Because we're going to lock you in for a while.
What?
Eh? Yes, Gav. We've decided to take a trip abroad. And we're taking the £10,000 with us.
Thank you. Look, you two, you can't run off of my £10,000. It's robbery.
I suppose it is a bet. Now, if you'll just hand over the parcel of notes, Charlie and me will leave you two gents to swap stories.
You'll get your 500 each and no more.
No, that's not fair. A £10,000 kidnapping should be worth £10,000. Right, Charles?
Right.
Now, hand over like a good boy.
Why, you up?
How'd you like that left, Charles?
You should be in pictures.
Yeah. You put the money in your pocket.
You won't get away with this.
I think we might, Gov.
We'll yell for help.
Nobody'd hear you. Or if they did, they wouldn't take any notice. This is Soho. Well, gents, tell her we'll ring the coppers from Paris or Rome and tell them to release your boat. Toodaloo.
Can I? What are we going to do?
Now, what can we do? They built these houses pretty solidly. The only window is that one up there, near the roof. We both have to be about 50 pounds lighter to get through it.
And what about the door?
Yeah. Maybe if we both got a hold of that table. Here, give me a hand. Here. We'll use it as a battering ram and try and break in the panels, right?
Yep.
Okay. After 5 minutes, one of the panels finally gave way. I reached my hand through the opening and discovered that our two chums had left the key in the lock. In a matter of moments, we were free. There you are, Whiplash.
I wonder where the nearest phone is. I'm going to get the cops under those two guys. They won't be taking no vacation on my $10,000.
Wait a minute. Have you figured out what'll happen when the police catch them? The story will come out. They'll tell everything.
Holy smoke. What's it matter? You'll write it up anyway.
Well, I've been thinking about it, Whiplash. I must be frank. I don't like you or anything about you, but on the other hand, I don't use my column to ruin a man's career. I'm going to write the story, yeah. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you 3 months. Enough time for you to finish your tour of Europe and get back home.
I guess that's something new for a reporter to be human. That means I got the choice now of letting them two crooks get away with the $10,000 or get the money back and have the story come out.
Well, that's just about it.
What's $10,000 anyway? Chicken feed.
We caught a cab in Shaftesbury Avenue and headed back toward the hotel. Whiplash knew that as soon as it got around that he'd been released, Scotland Yard would be clamoring for the full story. So he invented two fictitious characters with fictitious names and had his story all ready. When we reached the suite at the Ritz, we were welcomed by an overjoyed Burns.
You don't know how pleased I am to see you, Whiplash, buddy. Why, we were imagining all sorts of things, weren't we, Mr. Connolly?
I guess I was lucky to escape with my life.
You feel okay, though, do you? I mean, you haven't been beaten up at all.
No, I'm fine.
Good. Come on, then. It's nearly 9 o'clock. There's still time.
Time for what?
Here, grab your cowboy suit and your 6 guns. You can change into them when you get there.
When we get where?
Why, to the rodeo.
Rodeo? Oh, I'd forgotten. What time is it?
9 o'clock. You don't appear until 9:30. Come on, buddy.
But Burns, I...
Hurry, we've no time to waste. Mr. Connoy, we'll see you later.
Yeah, so long, Whiplash, and good luck. With all the excitement, Whiplash had forgotten that he wasn't supposed to show his face until after the rodeo was over and done with. This time there was no way out. He rode that bronc for exactly 3 seconds. When he left for the States last week on completion of his European tour, the bruises had just about disappeared, although he still walked with a slight limp. And you can take it from me, Whiplash Steele is one cowboy star who'll never retire to a dude ranch. I have it on good authority that he's going back to the garage business. There, the horses are all kept safe and sound under the hood.
We'll be right back.
you've been listening to Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy in another exciting episode in the series, Europe Confidential.
This is Basil Rathbone again. We've reached the end of today's story, but I'll be back to introduce to you another unusual tale. Remember, for this series, we've searched the whole world to bring you stories of every kind. Tales of espionage, suspense, crime, and intrigue. By famous writers from every part of the globe. In fact, a selection of the finest stories that have ever been assembled in one series. Well, goodbye now till we meet again to listen to another of the world's greatest mysteries.